You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Look, I got a lot of stuff that I wanted to get to this morning, but, you know, as long as you guys are on the phone lines, we're going to continue with the subject that we're talking about, and that's the fact that, you know, the Republican Party and unfortunately, not all, but some are telling other people in this nation and in the world, and it's not truthful, that the Democratic Party is kind of directing the assassination of Donald Trump. And that just cannot be allowed to continue to go on unchallenged. And the fact that the media silently, well, did you know, Donald Trump is saying that the Democrats tried to assassinate him. His sons, his family are saying that, and other Republicans are saying that. Well, come on, man. Come on. You know, think about what it means to a nation for a party inside of the nation, one of the two parties to say that the other party is threatening to have their candidate assassinated. That's not any lightweight stuff. And that should be up in neon lights. And it needs to be clearly by all talk show hosts, especially, you know, those on the national level, exposed. You can't allow that to continue. And then for elected officials of a party to say, we need to get, you know, if Donald Trump and J.D. Vance lose, we need to get the Civil War started. What is that? Let's go quickly to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Good morning. Trump and his mega crowd, this is all smoke and mirrors. This is all rhetoric to try to get people all stirred up.
They are stirred up.
And one of the reasons is because they're getting more stirred up because they're covering up different events that are occurring all over the world. One of the things that I have been following since Trump left office was the money that Jared Kushner got, particularly
yes.
$2 billion from the Saudis. Okay, now I've been following this, and there are blurbs of this money, where it's going. And finally, on October 5th, the Wall Street Journal actually wrote an article about how Jared Kushner and his wife have now purchased some land in Albania, which was a military installation by the Russians. And it's complete with tunnels and computers and what have you. He paid $1.2 billion. They're supposedly going to put a high-end hotel on this land. But one of the provisions, which I found really interesting in this, was the fact that he has to build a memorial to the Serbians who died from the incessant bombing of the NATO and American bombers. And I looked at that and I kind of laughed because don't you remember how Trump said taking a knee during the national anthem was anti-American? Yet his son-in-law is going to be building a monument against NATO and American bombers. That's a kick in the pants. But these are the things that they're covering up. Now, if Jared could spend $1.2 billion, where did he get this money from? Was this from the secret documents that Daddy took out of Washington, D.C. when he left? I mean, Jared is a nice-looking man, but I don't think I would spend $2 billion just to see him smile.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First, I want to quick say I really love Gene and L.A. Tom. They always are right to the point and eloquently say what they want to say.
Hey, Tom, you aren't bad yourself, first, man. You aren't bad yourself. Go ahead.
Well, there are times. But thank you. First, I'm going to say that, you know, I believe it was Khrushchev who said that America will fall without a shot being fired. And there's real truth to that today, especially when now we're talking civil war. If they don't win, there's going to be civil war. So basically what they're saying is that if Harris wins, the will of the voters do not matter. Only their voice matters. And so, you know, we're going to completely ignore because it's our way or no way. I'm getting back to Trump security, Secret Service for Trump. The man's a billionaire. Do people understand how much a billion is? That's 999,999,999 dollars for 1 billion. He's supposed to be a multi-billionaire. He could easily afford his own security. There is no, why are we paying for that? They yell about trying to pay for child care, but yet we're spending all this money protecting a billionaire. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Also with the Republican Party, Goebbels, Joseph Goebbels out of Germany. This was out of his playbook to deny what your own party is doing and blame it on the others. With the whole Trump trying to be assassinated or anything the Democrats are saying is what they're doing. They're basically the Republicans are doing stuff, but they're saying, oh, no, the Democrats are all doing that. We're not doing that at all. And their sheep believe it. They believe every word that comes out of Trump's mouth, no matter how insane it is. And
Tom, thank you very much for the call, as always. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Morning to you, Charles. You say what?
Throw my thunder a little bit.
Okay.
You got to throw my thunder a little bit with the Mike Johnson story. I heard that this morning.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, wow, he couldn't even denounce it. And then the crazy part is when George asked him about, you know, it was something about, if Trump won the 2020 election, if he lost it, he said, we're looking forward. And then when George reminded him that every time Donald Trump talks, he talks about the 2020 election. He talks about the 2016 election as well, too. But I don't understand these people. And this both sides, there's no both sides. The Democrats are not out here. Kamala Harris is not out here talking about a civil war or bloodshed or fight, or they're taking your guns. I mean, these people are crazy, this whole hurricane relief stuff. The governors of these Republican states, the mayors, have come out and said that the Biden administration is doing what they need to do. They're doing great. And these fools still get up on the stage and say, they're not taking care of the business for the American people. And the sad part about it, Earl, is that these people at these rallies, these supporters, David, Gary, CJ, they still believe that stuff, knowing that it's not true. Hey, that's the scary part.
Hey, Charles, man, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. Your thoughts?
Hey, I just heard my name brought up by Charles, and I feel honored. I am a mega Republican. But, you know, when you have people like Rick Wilson of the Lincoln Project going out there and saying that Trump has to be stopped and maybe somebody's going to have to put a bullet in him. These are his exact words. Then you get people like Madonna.
Hey, so let me ask you, hold on, let me ask you. Let me ask you. You said of the Lincoln Project, he's not a Democrat. Republicans are saying Democrats. Okay, that's the issue. The guy from the Lincoln Project is a conservative.
First of all, he's not. He's with the Democrats all the time. He's on MSNBC. No.
The Lincoln Project, Gary, is not Democratic.
Did you know what Rick Wilson said and his subordinate
Gary,
secretary
first,
went out there
first,
right after he
first said, respond to what's true. Who are you going to tell me don't change the subject? You're calling here, and I'm correcting you because you're talking about a guy who's a member of the Lincoln Project. He's not a Democrat. So don't tell me what subject to change. We're talking about facts. Okay? So let's get those things straight, and then we can continue the conversation. Go ahead.
All right. Pete, I was a Democrat most of my life.
I didn't ask you about you being a Democrat. You talked about a guy who is with the Lincoln Project, who is a conservative, who said whatever it is you just mentioned, okay? And then you tried to conflate that with him being a Democrat. He's not.
Okay, he supports the Democrats.
Okay, well, now you're changing the tune.
All the Democrats. Look, you're not even you asked me to call, and then you won't even let me say what I wanted to say.
No, not if you're not
going
to be truthful.
Saying how dangerous. Wait a minute. No, I am truthful, and you know it. That's why you're cutting me off, because you know I'm right.
No. Hey, listen, man. I don't know you're right. I'm not afraid of truth, and that's why I don't have any problem having you on the air or anybody else who disagrees with me. I'm not afraid of the truth. We're trying to get to the truth. Hang on. 855-752-4842. A Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I can't tell who to talk to. Can tell you who to sock it to. It's your thing. It's that you do what you wanna do. Don't let me take. To a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Before we go back to the phone lines, Calvin, you wanted to, and let me say this to Gary and all the other callers. I take more conservative callers than almost any, radio host in the nation. I know, I listen to radio. You can't call a conservative radio station and they allow one person who disagrees with them on their airwaves. Not one. Not one. And yet, you know, Gary, you call and you make a statement that I'm afraid to let you speak the truth over the airwaves. Calvin, what Gary mentioned the guy and he said the guy, you know, who made the threat on Donald Trump was a Democrat, or he supports the Democrats. But he first clearly was stating it as if he knew this guy was a Democrat. You say what, Calvin?
Yeah, so he brought up Rick Wilson, who is one of the people involved with the Lincoln Project, which is, from my understanding, like an anti-Trump Republican group. And he brought up that Rick Wilson made a comment about somebody needing to put a bullet in Trump. And you've pointed out that that was irrelevant because Rick Wilson is not a Democrat. But it's also irrelevant because Rick Wilson made those comments in 2015. They're not relatable to this present landscape. And they also weren't a threat. This was before Trump received the nomination in 2015 or in 2016. And he was talking about, like, figuratively, the donors needed to put an end to Trump by funding other people.
So, Gary, as you know, as I stated before, not afraid to have a conversation with you or any other Republican, you know, and so we certainly give you a fair and equitable opportunity to speak on these airways. We don't shut you down, but we're not going to allow you or anyone else for that matter to not be truthful on the airways. You don't have a right to not be truthful. And so when you're not truthful, I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, but we're going to call you out on that. Let's go to Al. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, let me say this. There's no such thing as a civil war. Those two words do not go together.
Well, you're right.
My grandfather, my mother, my father, my sister, three uncles and two sons, and I all served in the United States military, sent all over the world to kill and injure other people for whatever reason we don't know. We just followed our orders. If these people want a war, a lot of us have been trained for war, and I don't have a problem with it. So bring it. Have a good day.
Well, Al, you know, thank you very much for the call. But, you know, look, nothing good comes from war. Nothing. I don't care what side of the equation you're on. If anything good came from war, look at what's taking place in the Middle East right now. Innocent people being slaughtered. Innocent people being slaughtered who had nothing to do with the events of October 7th of 2023. War doesn't make any sense. As Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King once said so eloquently, if man doesn't find a way to put an end to war, war will find a way to put an end to mankind. I mean, so for people to continue to run around and talk this John Wayne talk and make these kinds of threats in a nation that clearly is not going to tolerate it, it's going to lead to something that I don't think any of us want to see. None of us want to see innocent people killed. None of us. If you have any inkling of humanity in you. Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, they seem to always mention that these Republicans that don't like Trump only see him as a threat to democracy. They're still conservative folks. They still are going to have their ideas. We have our ideas, but these are the people that would meet us at the table and we could come to a happy medium. But I got to ask you, Earl, it's a little off topic. What do you think the head of the news cycle should be right now? Should it be poor Trump being shot at and getting nicked with a piece of glass in his ear and then wearing a big tampon on his ear for a week? Or do you think it should be the 10-foot wall that's about to hit Tampa? Okay, the 10-foot wall of water. This state is about to get hit again, okay? And nobody, you know, we're sitting here wasting our time talking about that. Hey, everybody, get you a couple of 20 bucks. And all you Republicans out there that are Make America Great Again and America First and all this other BS you spout every day, how about you put some money together and get some food down to Florida and baby clothes and all the things that these poor people are going to need? Because whether they're Republican or Democrat, they're going to need our help.
Well, so Brendan, I mean, and part of this is, at the same time, you see this pushback about the Democrats not doing enough to help the people in rural parts of North Carolina and others because they are MAGA Republicans. I mean, all those things, and you mix them up all together, and you just know, man, we've got to call people out on this foolishness. 855-752-4842. You're tuning into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
A man to do, oh baby, I'll sacrifice for you, I'll even do wrong for you, oh baby. Every minute, every hour, I'm gonna shower you with love and affection. Look out, it's coming in your direction.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 855-752-4842. So, you know, we can talk about, people always say, let's get to policy, let's get to policy, let's get to policy. Well, listen to this. Tips, overtime, Social Security, a look at Donald Trump's no tax pledges and what they might cost. So here's a man who at the time the nation is in $40 trillion in debt or thereabouts, is saying we aren't going to tax anything. You know, Donald Trump has pledged to end taxes on everything from tips to Social Security, overtime pay, if he's elected to the White House again, but he hasn't said how he would fund those ideas. Now, we're already in tremendous debt, and yet he's talking about another major tax break for the wealthy. Let's just add it up. And he's also talking about cutting taxes on all these other revenue sources for the government in order for the government to run. So where's the money going to come from if Donald Trump becomes the president once again? Where's the money going to come from in order to fund the government? Calvin, you're a college-educated guy. If there's no resources coming into the government for taxes, how does the government run?
Well, we've saw during Trump's last administration that he ran up the deficit
a lot higher
than even Democratic presidents who are supposedly the big spenders, but also they don't care to keep the government running. I guess it's always seems like with when the Republicans are in the House, we don't get the government funded until the last second every time.
Hey, Kevin, you're a young man. Where would the nation be without the government?
Well, certainly not in a good place.
Listen, you can't even pick up garbage without the government.
Pick up garbage, get the roads plowed.
Keep the lights on, right? Law enforcement, fire department, you know. So what is it? Why are people so misunderstanding the government is not the enemy of the people? How did that get twisted? How did it get twisted? Look, I don't agree with the government in many instances, but I'm not foolish enough to think that you can run a nation without the government. Oh, well, we the people will run it. Oh, you will. You can't agree on anything. Look at this election. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, good morning to you, Jack. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry I got cut off earlier.
Yeah, that's all right.
You were talking about the continual lying that we hear out of the MAGA rhinos. I don't call it Republican Party anymore because that party doesn't exist. But there is a German-American historian by the name of Hannah Arendt, who I think captures exactly what they're trying to do. And a quote from her goes something like, "The constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure that no one believes anything anymore." Now, that I think is their purpose. And if you don't know what to believe, if you don't believe anything in particular anymore, and you either listen to the first thing that you hear and you say, "Oh yeah, that's okay," or how do you decide how to vote? That's the question. If you really don't have anything concrete to believe, but that's, in my opinion, that's what this is all about. It's just continual lying.
You know, Jack, you and I have been around a while. There's never been a time like this ever where these kind of lies are out front, right? I mean, again, I said this before, man, lies used to be something you'd keep covered up. You wouldn't want people to discover the lie. But Donald Trump and Republicans stand before the world and just keep lying. Well, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you know, spent billions of dollars on, illegal immigrants, and there's no money to spend on the American people. I mean, just nonstop lying, Jack. And people believe that. Some people.
That's a part of it. But, another part of it is like I said, people don't really know what to believe anymore because they've heard so many conflicting so-called opinions. Opinions are, if they're based on fact, but, and the Republicans the MAGA rhinos keep doubling down on this stuff. It makes it difficult to really come up with the truth.
Well, Jack.
And to fact find.
Jack, let me ask you, do you think this is a dangerous time?
I've never seen anything like
this. I know.
We got people out there. We got supporters of these people out there who have told me, if I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't be voting for Trump. Excuse me? You want to change this country into a dictatorship? You have no idea what you're talking. I've visited countries where there were dictatorships and authoritarian governments. People can't talk on the streets freely. The economy is trash. You're constantly looking over your shoulder. That's what we'll get with Project 2020. All you have to do is look at what Project 2025 promises to do. And those who say, well, no, you know, Trump won't do that. You ever heard of Agenda 47? That's the same thing. And that is what he plans to implement.
Well, so, Jack, you know, last thing, how can you possibly, here's the promises Trump has made that he is going to, again, he's going to cut Social Security. He is going to, you know, stop the revenue coming into the nation already at a time where, when we're in major deficits, and he's telling people he's going to give them everything that they wish for. And people believe that. So Jack, what would be the outcome if you cut off even more revenue to a nation that's already in tremendous debt? You don't have to be Jack from Merrimack to understand the impact of what those things would be.
This is an administration that already increased the debt by $8 billion, trillion
in 4 years.
And in 4 years, by about 25%, they increased the debt. And that's in a country that's been around for about 250 years. So that's a rather large proportional increase. And they propose to do the same thing. That's, you know, what those tax giveaways to their wealthy and rich corporations will do. You know, again, but that doesn't seem to affect people in the street. People don't realize that, yes, there will be long-term effects from this.
Hey, Jack, always thank you very much for a great call. And thank you for listening. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. You say what?
Thank you, Earl, for taking my call. I was at Red Lobster having lunch a couple weeks ago and talked to a server, and she was concerned that tips will not be taxed because her base salary, I believe it's about $225 an hour, and without taxing the tips, she will not be paying into Social Security. And even though the labor market is super tight, many companies have reduced hours to limit full-time benefits and eliminated overtime. So she was very concerned without taxing tips, she will not be eligible for Social Security. And she was not a young person. And I totally never thought of that she would not be eligible for Social Security because she won't be paying into it.
You know, Lynn, that is an astounding reality that I hadn't even thought of. And I'll bet you Donald Trump, as he, you know, spits that out, and others haven't even thought about. Social Security for people who, you know, work those types of jobs is the only hedge for their futures as they age, right? I mean, come on. That's the only thing, the guarantee that they'll get that check monthly, however small it may be. But to be guaranteed not to get it is just unconscionable. I can't even begin to think with all the people who work in service jobs and work for tips, what would happen? Because as you stated, they're not all young.
Correct. Yeah, it never crossed my mind that she would be worried. You know, I thought, oh, big benefit. Not taxing your tips, but she said, I'm relying on Social Security to retire at one point. And if you don't get Social Security, you won't get Medicare.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a frightening proposition, Lynn. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for sharing that information. So Donald Trump argues his ideas would improve Americans' personal financial standing and the overall U.S. economy. A debate about the tax code will be a dominant legislative issue next year, given that tax cuts Trump signed in 2017 would be set to expire. If he's elected again, Trump could push Congress to enact some or all of his proposals, though that might be difficult if Democrats end up in control of either the House or the Senate. Estimates from outside economic analysts of the cost of the various tax cuts range between $6 trillion and $10 trillion additional dollars in debt, depending on which ideas become policy and how they're implemented. 855-752-4842. Those are Donald Trump's policies, amongst others. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
Every breath I take and each and every step I make brings me closer, baby, closer to you.
And with each beat of my heart, for every day we apart, I'll hunger for every wasted hour.
And every night and every day, I'm gonna get you, I'm gonna get you. Look, I called, I'm gonna get you.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show, or Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, as we await a call from Governor Andy Beshear. Okay, he's there. Good morning to you, Governor Beshear. How are you doing, sir? Okay, can I hear him? Governor Beshear. All right. So as we try to work this out, he is the governor of Kentucky, and he is going to be joining us to talk about President Joe Biden's trip to Wisconsin, in rural Wisconsin. Calvin, do we have him yet? Okay. So anyway, I began the show this morning asking the question about rural people and why they have chosen to support Donald Trump and not so much President Biden and Kamala Harris. Not all, but far too many. And it is a major issue. And I think we probably have him right now. That's probably him, Calvin. So we'll have him on any second. You know, Kentucky's a rural area. And so we do know. Okay, there he is. Good morning to you, Governor. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you all so much for having me on. Sorry for the technical difficulty.
That's all right. You're the governor of Kentucky, man. How can we be concerned about technical difficulties? You're here on the Earl Ingram Show. You are here to talk about President Joe Biden's trip to the state of Wisconsin in rural America. You live in a rural state, sir. What can you say about what President Biden and Kamala Harris have done in rural Kentucky?
Well, what the president and the vice president have done is govern where we live, address the concerns that we have when we wake up each morning. Yeah, you know, while we talk about the election a lot, most people don't wake up thinking about an election. They wake up thinking about their job and whether they make enough to support their families. They wake up thinking about their next doctor's appointment for themselves or their kids or their parents. They think about the roads and bridges they're going to drive that day, what traffic is like. Think about public safety in their community and the schools they drop their kids off at. And when I see how the vice president is out there with plans to help with a middle-class tax cut, and the first presidential candidate I've ever seen with an affordable housing plan that addresses supply, you know, that helps people who are worried about their job and what they can do for their families. When I see the president, the vice president, capping the price of insulin and working to lower the cost of other prescription medicines, that certainly helps with the stress of the next doctor's appointment. And they have done more through that bipartisan infrastructure law to help us repave and make rural roads safer. It's been a good administration for all of America, but it's also been one that doesn't worry about whether you're a Democrat or Republican, urban or rural. They see you as an American, just as important as everybody else, worthy of that investment and worthy of a better life.
You know, when you hear the opposition and as they move around rural Wisconsin, rural America, and it's almost like if you don't, a governor like you don't remind the citizens of the great things that have happened under the Harris and Biden, presidency to improve the lives of people in rural America, you are a testament to those things.
I believe that the way that I've governed is just about believing in all of our people. And for me, it's living out my faith of that golden rule that says, I love my neighbor as myself, and the parable of the Good Samaritan that says everybody is our neighbor. That's why we need candidates that have plans that lift everybody up, and not candidates that are addressing personal grievances, who call people names, who run in a way that's anything but unifying. You know, our country has become divided because people have tried to divide us over and over, tried to convince us that we're being left out or left behind, try to create an us versus a them in everything right now, from the car you drive to the beer you drink. Yeah, somehow beer became political. You're supposed to pick a side. That's the politics of Donald Trump. That's the stirring up the base, no matter what the cost. You know, the vice president wants to take us to a better tomorrow, one where we get past this, because, you know, I might disagree with my neighbor politically, but I want them to do well, and I want their kids to do really well. You know, that's the America we've got to get back to. Americans first and everything else second, third, or fourth. But to do that, we have got to elect Vice President Harris and move beyond anger politics, hopefully for good.
You know, one last minute. What do you want to say to this listening audience, especially the rural people of this nation as we approach this election?
I'd say we are all Americans, and let's remember that, regardless of how we feel or how we're going to vote. Your neighbor is important, and we should honor them. We should ultimately find a way to get along. But Vice President Harris is by far the superior candidate here. Real plans that lift everyone up. Just think about it. An angry president is a dangerous thing, and electing someone who's more focused on his past grievances than your future won't help any of our families.
All right. Thank you very much, Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky. Really enjoy this short time with you. Tell the president and the vice president we said hello. All right.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.